Welcome to Five Star Radio. Consider this your warning.
Hey there, Catch Kittens. I'm Mike Koff from 5-Star Radio, HalfGuarded.com. Did I say HalfGuarded.com? You better believe I said HalfGuarded.com. With this quick, just 20-some-odd minute rundown of tonight, tomorrow, yesterday's. I'm not really sure how time works. UFC Japan show headlined by Roy Nelson Fatso versus Josh Barnett. Fatso, who cheats? A former UFC heavyweight champion versus former IFL heavyweight champion. And I think when Josh held the UFC title, it was probably about the equivalent of the IFL title when Roy held it. Kinda. I mean, pride was the deal. It's funny. I cannot stop ripping on last week's Bellator show. I'm sorry. Just the entire concept that this thing was supposed to be important angers me. Then it goes out and has 800,000 viewers, which is like, it's so underreported how bad that is. For all the hype and publicity, me seeing that somebody paid Tito Ortiz $300,000. Are you fucking kidding me? $300,000? Amazing. So UFC comes to us from Japan, the Saitama Super Arena. And it's better than last week's Bellator show. The card is top to bottom. Hell, tonight's Bellator show, which this is up after that show's taken place, is almost as good as last week's Bellator. Joe Warren's not bad. Really? I mean, Bellator's got some talent. It's almost unfair to call him a number two. I don't give a shit if you got TV. It's like calling TNA a number two to WWE. Oh, big fucking deal. You've got Bobby Roode. Yeah, but whatever. That's certainly as big a star as The Rock. Fucking jackasses. I mean, Fight Night Japan, Super Saitama Arena, blah, blah, blah. I think the second fight on the show is on the main show on Fox Sports 1, Diego Brandão, who is the guy who habitually will never live up to his talent. I don't want to say he's a waste of talent, but he's wasted talent. But he'd be in Bellator. I mean, that's to say, okay, great, he'd be in Bellator, duh. But there's some guys that are 145 in Bellator that wouldn't be in the UFC, particularly the Pitbull brothers, Patricky, especially the 45-pound champion Pitbull. And he's very, very good. But, you know, I don't think he's in. I just see him as kind of like at the Diego Brandão level. Maybe a little. He seems to be a little more consistent. But it's also easier to be consistent when you're fighting. Yeah. So UFC headline, doing Saitama, which is the big one, with Josh Barnett and Roy Nelson. Which, it's odd. On the one hand, this is a bigger fight than anything Bellator had last week. Sorry, but fuck you, 800,000 viewers. You literally almost paid Tito Ortiz 50 cents a viewer. That's amazing. Like, what the fuck? I mean, after fines and everything, he made more money fighting than Nick Diaz did. Yeah. So, I think that's right. My math may be a little off. I'm not really sure. I can't do math. Nelson and Barnett, I mean, it's a solid fine. It's a fine main event. For America, anywhere in America, that's actually a very good fight night level main event, which is all this is. For a show in Saitama, it's obviously not what Pride once would produce for main events. But it's also not Pride. And maybe, just maybe, we should stop comparing things to a promotion that's been dead so long that if it had a child the day it was born, like if it died during childbirth, that kid would be in junior high, I think. I'm not really sure how old children are. All I know is 18. So then, up at, they got the road to the UFC Japan finals. Fuck if I know. But, you know, some of the main event, Gegard Mousasi and Uriah Hall. Pretty good. I don't know. It's very interesting. It's a step back in many respects for Mousasi, who's right up there, who's proven himself to be at that top five level middleweight. Even though middleweight has become stacked in recent years, he's still very, very good. Uriah Hall, I can't say he's a waste of he's a waste of talent. I should say he's wasting his talent, because he's obviously very, very good at, like, everything. But just due to his mentality, it's always going to be an issue as far as how far he goes. And I don't know what he can do. Yes, you can see a sports psychologist and things like that, but there's a problem where, and Donald Cerrone had it when he was, you know, Donald Cerrone was for a long time known as a slow starter, and he just didn't know what was wrong and blah blah blah, which is why, you know, 5-round fights I think are better for him, and even today he's kind of a slow starter, and Uriah Hall is simply not mean. He's not Wanderlei Silva. He doesn't have Ronda Rousey. You know, there are some people that go out there and have a true killer instinct. Individuals that, you know, if they had no skill in the world, they'd still be tough to fight. Because they would just bite down on their mouthpiece and say, fuck you, or just do whatever they could. And, you know, the Conor McGregor types, if they're on the ground, they're just going to be hitting you and hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you. And yes, when you combine that with great technique and athleticism, it's a hell of a combination. And Uriah Hall has all that except for that super killer instinct. And not everybody needs to have it. You can get by as a point fighter. Hell, look no further than Gegard Mousasi. Gegard Mousasi is a point fighter. His strike, or his style at least, is point fighter oriented. I think unlike Hall, he's got a little bit more natural finishing skills. More, probably a little more aggressive. But it's funny, you know, it's a good fight on paper. You go, huh, not bad. I think it could be terribly boring. Like really, 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 really badly boring. Because both guys are isolated shots, be very clever, things like that. You know, and Hall's going to be a guy that's always going to be difficult to gauge when you're doing predictions and breaking things down, simply because of his level of talent. It's like BJ Penn or Vitor Belfort, where you never know on any given night what you're going to get. And if it's all there and Hall's firing on all cylinders, and maybe he just has some night where, like, I don't know, somebody stubbed his toe or stole his debit card or something. I mean, the guy is legitimately good enough to be the best in the world. His only loss before he got to the UFC was... And how is this for fucking crazy? Him and Chris Weidman fought. And he was doing very well with Weidman. He got hit, but then he got hit by a punch. But, I mean, what a fucking... Can you imagine that? You're just looking at some local indie MMA, and you get hit. At one time, you had a fight. I don't even know if it was the main event of the show, of Chris Weidman and Uriah Hall. And you're probably just watching, going, hey, here's two guys, whatever. Oh, yeah, this guy's a good wrestler, and that black guy looks kind of athletic, in addition to being athletic. Like nowadays, you'd be like, holy shit, it's a pay-per-view main event. That's 300,000 buys in pay-per-view. I have no idea. Zero clue what Chris Weidman's drawing power is. The man has never had to really draw. He's always had some sort of help. Which, you know, fine, whatever. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Money's money. There's always been a Ronda on the show, or whoever he's fighting is a bit more established opponent or something like that. And it'll happen again in December. You can have a fucking clue. If anybody cares about Luke Rockhold or Chris Weidman, it's going to be the Conor McGregor show. That's the draws in the UFC right now. It's odd. You know, historically, even in the UFC, your biggest draws were always fights more than fighters. There's been very, very few fighters that draw. Chuck Liddell, could fight anyone and draw 500,000 buys, as evidenced by, you know, Babalu and Jeremy Horn and shit. Brock. I mean, Brock was a freak. And now you see it with, like, Ronda. I mean, fucking A. You do 1,000,000 buys on pay-per-view against Betchko. Hey, I don't even know what that means. My brain cannot comprehend that level of drawing power. But, anyway, and Conor obviously did with Chad, and Chad's a better opponent than Betchko Hey, but nonetheless, Chad Mendes, nice guy, but he ain't drawing no fucking 1,000,000 buys or 100,000 buys or 4 buys. I don't even know how many people there are at Team Alpha Male left after Dwayne Ludwig and Uriah Faber had their civil war that ends up with everybody dying. Pee on that rock. Hey, there's the, it's a girl sign with a stork that somebody put in the front yard, and the dog peed on it. Yep. So, yeah, and obviously the main event, you know what, the main event's got Barnett and Roy Nelson, and they are finishers. Nelson, Morton, I mean, probably even more than Barnett. Nelson always looks for the finish at all times. Barnett has such a variety of skills that everything he does moves towards a finish. He's not going to try to lay and prey on someone, but he can do it if he has to. He probably will do it if he has to. But he's not somebody that if he's ahead in the third round, he's going to coast. I mean, Roy Nelson, I don't think he can be ahead on scorecards. I think if Nelson lands enough shots, it's over. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you almost can't get beat by Roy Nelson by decision. In order for that to happen, he'd have to hit you so many times, and if he hits you that many times, he's going to kill you. He's just that heavy of a hitter. Barnett doesn't have that level of hands, but again, his overall game is very diverse. It's a shame that we're not seeing him anymore in his true prime, much like Nogueira. In his prime, Barnett was someone that seemed kind of inconsistent, but could do everything. Was just a well-rounded striker, well-rounded grappler, in every aspect of the game. You know, his guard was solid, his wrestling was solid, his jiu-jitsu was different because he did a catch wrestling in a true catch wrestling style. It's not just some gimmick. He is very good at using certain positions that are known catch wrestling positions, and he could attack legs and arms and everything. Had a good chin. Cardio was always good, but he just looked like he was melting. It looked like the guy at the end of RoboCop, the good one, where he's melting because of the fucking toxic waste he's in. Or one of those people that's had like lost like 300 pounds in a year, and I was like, ugh, what's up with all the skin? Like, Roy Nelson's fat, but at least it's all solid fat. I don't know which is better, but whatever. It's a good, like I say, it's a good main event. Japanese people will probably be happy to see Josh, I guess. Kid Yamamoto was supposed to fight on the card. There's an injury, I think, to both the guys in that fight, Yamamoto included. And I believe he was, I don't even know if he was main event. I think he may have been Fox Sports 2 or some shit like that, which is just sad. the guy who was at one time the greatest fighter on earth with incredible charisma, who his star in Japan was as big as any star here in America. I mean, we're talking like Ronda Rousey level big. It's tough to always compare the two because of the nature of Japan and how they, you know, people don't draw in Japan like they do in America. Things draw. And a lot of that is because, like, you don't see people in America lose their drawing power, typically, until something happens to them. Like, if Ronda Rousey keeps winning, I think she's just going to keep drawing. Like, she ain't going to go away. Same with Conor McGregor. People aren't going to get tired of it. It's not like, I mean, MMA and UFC can have fad-type cycles as far as, like, undercard shit or low-card stuff drawing, like they supposedly did in 06 and 07 or whatever. But when you're talking, you know, the big guys, once you start drawing, it takes forever to stop. Whereas Kid Yamamoto, I mean, the bubble burst in Japan and nobody gives a fuck. And really is like the equivalent of, imagine in, I don't know, 8-10 years if Ronda Rousey fights on the undercard of a 1FC show in Thailand or something, or wherever the fuck, Singapore, Macau, and nobody pays attention or cares. that's what it's like with Kid Yamamoto being on these shows. That's the level of celebrity, the level of talent, the level of just everything. I mean, I loved Kid. When he was in his prime and his ground and pound, his wrestling was elite, world-class level wrestling. And then within the world of MMA, definitely at the highest level, and he had great power. And even though he's a guy that can literally fight at 125, and we've seen that in the recent years, he was doing very well at 155. And they weren't all scrubs. No, granted, it was not today's level of talent always. And I'm not going to pretend like beating Hoyler Gracie is some big accomplishment. But Genki Shudo was solid, and he beat Josh Barnett. Well, actually, the Josh Thompson fight was a no contest, but Josh was a very good fighter when they fought. And even though the fight ended due to a no contest on a headbutt that caused a cut, Kid Yamamoto was thrashing him. He was dumping him. He was wrestling him with ease. You can find that fight on YouTube or whatever. It's really weird. Because you're like, what the fuck is going on? And again, Josh was a good fighter then. This isn't like Josh Barnett day one or something like that. This is all not quite Josh at his best, but fuck, man. And now he's gone. So, and, you know, you got, like, Chico Camus takes on Kyogi Horiguchi, who, you know, Horiguchi's fought for the flyweight title. Chico has rededicated himself to things. He's a guy that always had a lot of talent. He's trained before, and I think he still does, with at the Duke Rupert School. But I know that, like, for a while there, he was not training. And that was due to, essentially, the school saying no. Sorry, my dogs are barking. This guy doesn't have his dog on a leash. Because he's a fucking dick. Put your dog on a fucking leash or I'll kill you. Or rip your head off. I'll kill a man on air. Oh, you know I'd do that. If I ever commit some terrible violent crime right now, I'm going to jail for years. You know I'm going to try to do it while on air. On recording. Whatever. Shut up. But Chico, everybody always said, you know, tons of natural talent, but was not always putting it together. The rumors were always that, you know, he enjoyed partying a little bit. He was never as dedicated. And I think sometimes schools, more than one, from what I understand, would be like, do we really want this guy representing us? He has since, however, rededicated himself, and he's looked really good. He's a guy that could make a legitimate run towards a title shot. Some of that's going to be that process of elimination deal where what do you do with Mighty Mouse? Because there's just not going to be guys left that he hasn't beat. And Mighty Mouse is smart enough that I think he's just going to keep fighting in his division. Which I don't blame him. I wouldn't go for the one-off fight up at 35. Unless you get, you know, real money. Don't just do it for a cheap pop on a rating. Maybe it helps a little bit on a buy rate. But it's not going to be some, you know, George St. Pierre, Fights Anderson, Silva level dream match. It's just going to be, oh, look at that. This is kind of cool. And maybe people get a little more interested, but if he loses, it definitely hurts him in the long run. It's not BJ versus George St. Pierre when that happened or anything. Second time. So, again, yeah, you know, a good solid card. Up and down. Trying to think. Let me double check, actually. I do have a phone here. What the... Takeo Mizugaki takes on George Roop. Kind of do or die for both guys. Mizugaki should win, but you don't know. I really don't know either. The home field thing for Japanese fighters seems to help them. There does, for whatever reason, seem to be a weird disadvantage for Japanese fighters when they come, I don't even know which direction you say, east or west, to America. I mean, I know they go east because they go over the Pacific, but something about that time change or that, in that change of culture appears to have a substantial effect on those who did well in Japan. Whereas Americans going over to Japan, it doesn't seem to impact them as much. And it seems to be limited to Japan. I mean, Brazilians do better in Brazil. Some of that's just matchmaking. And I think everybody does probably just a little bit better when you're closer to home. I don't know if Europeans do any better really in Europe than in America. If anything, they might do better in America because it probably makes them more likely to train here. And no matter what the camps are in the UK, they are never going to measure up to what we have in America. I mean, you can look at the John Kavanagh School there in Ireland, and it's very good. They got some very, obviously they produced Connor and Gunnar Nelson and some other guys, and basically everybody's Irish is fighting out of that school. And no doubt it's very good, but it's one school. I mean, there's probably like four or five schools like that in just California. Fuck, just in the LA area is just as good. I mean, there's a lot of schools that are so good, like, you don't even really realize it. Everything, you know, Black Sun, ATT, Alliance, this, that. I mean, it's just like, oh, shit, yeah. So, I don't know. I think the Japanese fighters do get a little bit of a benefit. I don't know why. A lot of it is, my guess is it's probably matchmaking more than anything, if I had to guess. I would guess that it's matchmaking at heart that makes a difference for why Japanese fighters do better in Japan than they do in America. And probably why Brazilian fighters do better in Brazil than they do in America. That and just perception. Maybe we all just think they do, but they really don't. But my guess is if you looked at it and broke down statistically, it would pan out. And again, I think it's matchmaking. You're more likely to, if you're the UFC, book the hometown guy in a fight that it's somewhat favorable to. Now, at the main event level, no, you're not. You can't. If you're, you know, at a certain level of guy, a certain level of star, they're just always going to be taking on top-level guys. When Anthony Pettis fought in Chicago or in Milwaukee, I mean, he's from Milwaukee. He fought in Chicago and Milwaukee a bunch. And, you know, he fought Ben Henderson and Donald Cerrone in each of those fights. Like, that's just what he had, you know. It's like, you couldn't give him easy gimme fights because you want to be at that level, you're at that level. But if you're somebody lower on the card from the area, Eric Cope, for example, he might be given a chance for a more winnable fight or something like that. Although, actually, he tends to be given tough fights. UFC tends to be able to give your tougher fights anyways, but some of us, you know, I don't know. It's just probably matchmaking more than anything, if I had to guess. We're just rambling now till we get home. Then I gotta end the show. Hey, why don't you come here, dog? Yeah. It's a good way to end the show, isn't it? Hey, come here, dog. Like how I left the door open to the house and everything. You know you live in the suburbs and you leave shit open. I was gonna say one last thing about your asshole. Because I wanted to get to it, and then I kind of got distracted, and I was kind of moving towards it, but then I stopped, and you know how these shows are. And it'll be the last thing we say before we close out the show. So you're almost done. If you're listening, and you're a completist, like I am, you're almost there. This criticism is always loud that you're Ihaw, which is valid, is that lack of killer instinct. And I know, I like to talk about myself, yes. And I've talked about this probably in the past about myself, that I have that same problem. Like, I don't have a killer instinct by nature when I do jiu-jitsu. And it's something I've been trying to work on, and it is improving a little bit. But the truth is that I'm somewhat of a passive-aggressive practitioner of the art. And I think Uriah Hall's personality is the same way. And the real problem you have is that if that's who you are, it's difficult. One, it's difficult to change anyways. But more than that, it's difficult to know if it's worked. Like, whatever changes you might make, you only get, what, two or three times a year to kind of put it into real-time practice. And so because of that, you could go out there and be doing all this stuff, but if you're only fighting, again, two or three times a year, do you really know if it worked? And so, I still think he's going to lose to Musashi. Yeah, and I think that, I don't know, Barnett and Nelson, five rounds, Roy gasses. He's got that power. Josh is good. Josh isn't as good as he once was. Josh is probably a little bit better acclimated to Japan than Roy, although I don't know if it totally matters. Let's just pick, Josh Barnett annoys me. But I'm still going to have to pick him. So, yeah. I don't know. That's your UFC Japan Fight Night preview. If you didn't like it, fuck you and go to hell. Yeah. Welcome to Five Star Radio at halfguarded.com. If you did like it, though, thank you for listening. We'll be back shortly in another day or two with another radio show. And obviously at halfguarded.com, every hour or so, whatever, we have something amazing that goes up writing-wise. So, boom. Suck on that. I'm Mike Coughlin. Thanks for listening. Until next time, au revoir, mes amis.
I was a five-star man before the internet. I'm damn sure a five-star man now, okay? I just got to drop the dead weight so I can shine.